Oh my gosh, you're just gonna have to edit this part out because I thought about it and I like didn't have a chance to think of a really good one.
That's our
But
intro. You just made the
give me
intro.
no.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Local Marketing Lab, where you get real-world insights from industry pros to help you drive local revenue and local growth. This podcast is brought to you by Evocalize, digital marketing tools powered by local data that automatically work where and when your locations need it most. Learn more at evocalize.com. What's up, and welcome to the Local Marketing Lab. Joining us in the lab today is a guest with over 20 years of marketing experience in the fitness space. She collects vintage 80s stickers, made a web series about the world's ugliest dog contest, and is the VP of marketing at UFIT Gyms. Allison Rand, thanks for joining us in the lab, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm surprised for you. I brought my ugly dog, who's not really ugly, but he is hairless. This is
Oh,
Q-Tip.
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
No hair. Brought him to show you my dedication to it all. Yeah. Okay. You go back to sleep.
His name is Q-Tip. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I was, when I was putting this intro together, I was just laughing. I'm like, it's the most bizarre. Like, no one is known for collecting their 80s vintage stickers.
Oh my God, don't get me started. That's another podcast.
Where do you, let me just ask, where do you just find them online?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like vintage thrift stores or eBay, Facebook, Etsy. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just keep them in a book or do you slap them all over things?
I have a bookshelf here with the puffies, my oilies, my dress-up stickers, like my Sandy Lions, my Lisa Franks. My Hallmarks. I don't want to, but like, yeah, there's like, you know, there are boxes of them. Like they're just here everywhere, you know, like.
That is hilarious.
You know, puffy stickers. Yeah. Anyways,
That's
like
so
I like
funny.
The, I like E.T. ones and Mr. T and like weird Alf,
oh, yeah.
You know, McDonald's ones, like anything vintage.
It's funny. As a kid, I remember going through the stores and like there were like sticker books, like those Pan Am or whatever they were, sticker books where you just would buy the book, you'd buy the packs and get the random stickers and try to collect them all. And I remember just being obsessed with those things.
Yeah.
Simpsons. I had a Simpsons one. I remember like, trying to get all
well,
the stickers.
Like in the 80s, there were like rolls of stickers sold.
Yeah.
Like, so there'd be like a gift store with like rolls and you'd buy them in pods for like 25 cents each. And now people resell those little stickers for, you know, anywhere from $2 to $75.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Just
so like I have like
nostalgia.
Smurf smelly stickers that are like worth like one pack's worth like $75.
Don't open them. Don't scratch
yeah.
them.
Mm,
Once that smell goes away, it goes away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just know in your mind that it smells.
Yeah. You can't take it out of the pack.
Yeah.
You, God forbid you take the sticker off. Anyway, this is like, I don't know how you're going to edit this podcast. So
this is all staying.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, before we jump into, you know, how you do local marketing, why don't you give us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. So I actually started long, long ago at the first website for women called iVillage and got my start in media. So I was at Discovery for like 5, 6 years. But I moved into fitness when we moved to the DC area, and I started marketing for Vita Fitness, which is an upscale gym here in DC. And from there, I just fell in love with the fitness industry. And so I mean, I was always a content person, and earned media and content video was like my jam. But since I've really been in this job at UFIT, I've become more and more engaged with paid media and performance and growth hacking and stuff like that. So it's evolved, but I love what I do and I love the fitness industry. I'm committed to it. We were just at the Hill this week with the health and fitness industry trying to promote a bill, the Fit Act, to get gym memberships covered by HSA and FSA. So I'm really committed to the industry and what we do. and helping gyms such as my own, UFIT, which is 65 locations, corporate owned business, becoming like, you know, more profitable.
Very cool. Wow, that's actually a really good idea to have the HSA, FSA cover those.
Right. It's preventative. But again, you do a whole nother podcast on that with way smarter people than me. But it is a great bill. And we're really trying to get attention to the fact that this is money that people have put into their account. It's their money and they should use it on preventative wellness.
Yeah. Well, and mental health too, like going to the gym.
100%.
Not only clarity of mind, but just, I mean, there's so many mental health benefits from being able to get your exercise in, no matter what type it is.
Right.
Very cool.
I 100% agree. Mental health and combating loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one thing that you were talking a little bit about the content, like I imagine that this industry is like, you get so many opportunities to leverage like user generated content.
Absolutely. It's really interesting because when I started, we would create this like high quality content, right? Like coming from Discovery, you want it to be like a beautiful, well shot video, you know, with very controlled. And now we're really more focused on, like you said, user generated content and the like authentic experience. So member driven content or content just shot on an iPhone that really tells like first person experiences. So for it makes it easier to get. It's way cheaper to create. And it's also, I think it's more engaging. And it may not, from like a, if you're like a purist from a brand perspective, it's sort of hard because you want to control exactly how everything looks. But in terms of performance, it will outperform it any day.
Any day. I agree with that. Right. Are you taking then the user-generated content that is, that engages the most, it has the best performance, are you turning that into paid ads?
Yeah, I mean, we also sort of create our own, right? Mm-hmm. Like some of it is user-generated content, some of it looks like user-generated content, but it's all shot in the same vein. And I'm told you this before and many other people, but yeah, we test many, many creatives every month. And then, so we'll do a small test budget, see if it performs, and then move it into our evergreen account.
Yeah, that's very cool. I did notice on your LinkedIn feed, there's a commercial. It's like an 80s style gym commercial.
That's the opposite. That's the opposite. That was like a real production. Really proud of that video. And that, our brand, you know, so we went bankrupt during COVID. That's no secret. You can find that on Google. And so there's some brand rebuilding that we're still working through, right? Which is to tell people, we're not the brand that you knew, because maybe we build people during COVID, or maybe there are things like we want to say, now we have more heavy lifting platforms and heavy lifting machines and more free weights. So we've evolved. And so is fitness, right? Because it's no longer just jazzercise or treadmills. Anyway,
yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, you have to look up Allison Rand. I know it's on LinkedIn, and it's not too long ago. So check out her feed. I think the video is hysterical. We'll pull it and we'll link to it in the in the details of this episode.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, so you can grab it from there.
Yeah, very cool. So with all the testing that you've done across, because you've been at multiple companies now, and you do a lot of different local marketing testing, like what do you think is the most important aspect of local marketing for your business?
Well, I mean, it varies brand to brand. So it looked a little bit different when I was in DC and I was at Vita versus now, where we're bigger and more spread out. But at the end of the day, it's really about your community and how you get to know and understand your community and how you're a part of that community. So if you're a bigger brand like UFIT, I may not be like literally in my community, but it might be how I engage with my community from a digital and content perspective. And then like in Vita, it was really about being literally in the community, being part of your chamber, being at events, partnering with your local real estate, you know, being part of the community, you're part of the 5K races, all of that really great stuff. And if you can't do that because your company is too big and spread out, then it's really about being, from a digital perspective, part of your community. Mm-hmm. And also, like we talked about this, but really like how you put forth your brand in an authentic way so that it shows you are part of that neighborhood, not just some big global brand sitting back. Yeah. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, 100%. I think if you're an operator too at a local level, if you're going around and trying to make as many inroads as possible and shake as many hands just like throughout your day to day, and because you know there's so many folks out there who could potentially be your mouthpiece, and mm-hmm. it's you'd be surprised at how many folks are willing to do that if you just be human with them and kind of establish some rapport. You highlight them on your social channels, maybe tell a story about them or share a video about their location. Maybe if it's a cookie shop, or you know, it could be a local small gas station, whatever it might be, anything where you're highlighting local folks, that's going to win them over. And in turn, you're going to win over local advocates.
Oh, 100%. My social media producer has an ambassador program, and she finds and partners with people in the local communities. And it drives content on our end. It drives engagement. But we have a senior director who manages about a third of our locations. And he never sits in the office to work. He sits mm-hmm. in the community. He sits at the car wash. He sits at the local, his name's Sam Park. He's amazing. And he'll sit literally at the water park and talk to people in the community and sell memberships from the water park. And we have a relationship with that water park. And we give out discount memberships to it. And it's a really great collaboration. And it's like these small things that, to your point, they do grow.
Yeah, 100%. No, that's awesome. Do you then turn around and offer other folks discounts like from your locations?
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I know some facilities will have like a bulletin board or something where they can have local folks highlight their businesses as well.
Yeah, we have open houses and we invite the local community in. And we're always like, oh, bring a table and set up and, you know, talk to our members, give them opportunities to join, you know, whatever you're doing. We're always, always excited to collaborate with our community.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, I live in a small community. No one's heard of it. It's Denver, North Carolina. And we have like
Denver. Everyone's like, I've heard of Denver.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Denver, North Carolina.
We have one main gym, but I see them do like when they have like, you know, different CrossFit events or whatever, they have, like you just mentioned, a bunch of local, you know, businesses will set up a table with some tents or whatever, and they make a whole kind of festival around it. And it really allows you to be kind of a core staple in your community and, you know, bring others to you who may otherwise not have come to you, but also build those relationships with others that you give them that chance to showcase their business so that when they get the opportunity, they recommend folks to come your way.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that's probably less glamorous is the way we treat like our local listings. So we're really focused on our local listings and how our local listings impact our SEO. And we've started, I'm not saying we're there yet, but we've started a recent initiative to double down on like local content. So our blogs and our website pages, not just optimizing them for like our local locations, but also like creating first person content, which we all know from the Google Core updates is important. So that's like a really big focus. And it's a really good opportunity for those listening who can't get into the field because maybe their locations are too spread out.
Very good. Yeah. Your reviews and your listings are, there's a lot of businesses even in any industry that kind of live and die by those. I mean, and making sure that those are maintained, your core hours are updated. You know, if you have other things like in the restaurant space, some have pricing or whatever on there, your menus, whatever it might be, make sure that those listings are up to date, because nothing's more frustrating than when someone is in the moment of their buyer's journey when they're going to make a choice to potentially come to your location and they get hit with false information, not, or just, information that's inaccurate or not up to date. And it creates a frustrating experience. You could potentially lose that customer that could be long term.
Yeah, we have over the year, last year, we've been really trying to get all of that updated and accurate, but then we're also now saying, okay, well, what more can we do? What more can we deliver to local listings to optimize them, like offering more photos? Like the thing, you just want to get it done. It's so unsexy. You just want to be like, type, type, here it is. Okay, like I never want to look at that again. It's not like another thing you want to tend to, but it's an important element of driving local SEO.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It makes me think, folks think that it takes a lot of time. It's just like, oh, it takes so much time. I don't have time to do this thing or whatever. But every day that goes by that you don't do it, you're prolonging the inevitable for someone else to end up start doing it and start gaining the traffic that could be coming to your page or your listing. But it's also like if you look at it as an investment, then it's a little more palatable because if you do a little bit of time here and there over time, it gains traction and has an exponential or expounding effect on, the results that you're able to drive through those listings.
Yeah, absolutely. I've ever since the core updates like this March, I've been obsessed with SEO because when I Google something now and I get all these Reddit, I get all the like, aren't you noticing so much more Reddit in your search?
Yeah, for
And I'm like,
sure.
I know I can't win on Reddit. Like, I'm just not a brand that's going to win on Reddit. Okay, so what do I need to do from a first person perspective to drive? And it's definitely like everything we're talking about, driving partnerships with other people who can talk about my business from an like authentic first person perspective. And then like, what can I do with them to like link back and connect and support them?
Yeah, for sure. No, this is all great stuff. What do you think is something that you've tested that you've seen that was like really moved the needle, had a big impact on driving towards your goals?
This isn't local specific. In fact, it's almost like the opposite. But we recently tested Advantage Plus, which is the new Meta product. And Advantage Plus is like the performance max of Google. And I read about it and I was like, I want to test it, but it's not like the kind of thing where you can be, you just kind of hand the keys over to Meta and you're like, drive me somewhere special. And so we're like, it's sort of tricky for a gym where you set your trade area, you have your audiences, you have your very specific ideas for like what's going to drive membership. With Advantage Plus, it's sort of a black box. But I was like, well, let's test it because it's new and it's, theirs, but you don't have audiences, you don't have trade areas. But we're like, let's test it. And we're actually getting like a really strong cost per join from our Advantage Plus ads. And it's because like their AI does, it knows what it's doing. But at first it was interesting. It would push ads to places where we don't have a UFit. So I would get comments on the ads like, oh, this looks cool. We don't have a UFit in Denver. And I was like, why is someone in Denver seeing my ads? But at the end of the day, the cost per join was still better. And so I was like, okay, like let it continue to learn. And it just gets better and better.
Over time. Yeah, that's right. Well, one thing that you kept saying that stuck out was test it. Let's just test
Yeah.
it. And whether you're talking about that functionality within Facebook or anything, it's always good to encourage folks to just, if you have an idea inspired to try something, try it, test it. You don't have to go all in and have some grand strategy baked out. Sure, you want to have some direction, some goals you're trying to achieve, but test into what actually works. It's if you need to
Yeah.
push it out ugly, and eventually,
Push it
you'll
out
get to
ugly.
what actually like works for you,
Yeah, it's hard as a marketer to become like less precious and to like give in to like, okay, well, whatever works. my social media agency made this really ugly GIF of someone like kind of going like this. It was like a water bottle and it turned into a weight or something. I don't know. We were all like, it was so ugly. And it was like our best retargeting ad. And I was like, okay, great. It turns out across platforms, the bicep does really well in creative.
Interesting.
And yeah. And I'm like, I don't know why, but okay. Like, you know, like some people will come to you. Yeah. Go ahead.
I would say if you think of strength, I mean, that's what people attribute to strength. Like even look at the muscle emoji. It's just someone, it's the bicep getting flexed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just never know. Like to your point earlier about mental health, somebody was like, let's do some meta ads on the value of mental health, working out for mental health. And I was like, we can test it, but all people really want to do is see like physical changes in ads. And I was wrong. Mental health did really well. And I'm like, great. That makes me so happy. I never care if I'm right or wrong when it comes to this stuff. All I care about is the numbers.
Yeah. Test. If you fail, fail fast, fail forward, you learn from it. And then you can continue to go from there. Like if you would have never tested those things, you'd never have found out that the bicep works well or that the mental health is a significant thing to focus on.
We had we run programmatic, you know, display, and we always feel like, is this really moving the needle? Because it's sort of in a weird place in the funnel, in my opinion, right? It's not like I searched for a gym and I found one. It's like, I found a little ad on a website. So we like, okay, like well, let's turn it off in a region and see how that impacts branded search volume. And it did have an impact on branded search volume. So we were like, oh, okay, great. Glad we know. Like it didn't really hurt anything to do the test, learned something. We got a reassurance from something that we didn't have and we continue to use it.
Yeah. Cause most folks think if it's just a display ad, if they're not clicking on it, that's the thing that you look at to measure. But yeah, interesting that it had a direct effect for you.
Well, if you look at who clicks on your ad, you're going to be really sad, right? If you try to do a cost per lead on programmatic, it's like you'll just cancel it, which is why I wanted to cancel it.
Right. So. That's what most people do.
That's
what most people do. Very, very cool. So if you had one suggestion for someone who's maybe struggling to drive growth or drive engagement, you know, from a local marketing perspective, what would you suggest that they do to maybe try today or sometime this week?
I mean, I feel like you need to really like define your neighbors, define your area. That's like the one overall thing. And some of it I've kind of already touched on this conversation, but like, understand your trade area. So if your trade, like you're not going to just choose random zip codes in your neighborhood. We work with an agency, Roar, that helps us create like very specific trade areas. So like if the bridge over here, people are less likely to join on this side of the bridge than this side of the bridge. We don't advertise to them. So like know your area, know who the people are that are likely to come to your local business. And know like what you're dealing with in that local area, like who are your competitors? Like, so you kind of have a better sense of where to really place your budget. If you can't win on this side of the bridge, don't waste your money over there. You know, like you can get to the point where you could be like, well, on that side of the bridge, everybody is already going to this other gym. As much as I would like to get them over there, there's low hanging fruit on this side of the bridge. And getting to know your neighbors, being part of your community, which we already talked about, staying authentic. We already talked about that. And then I think just create local content, like a local content strategy. So it's great to have these like high level brand terms for SEO, but someone's searching for gym near Germantown,
right?
You know, they don't care. They don't need to get like general workout advice from you. They need localized content from you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Those were all great insights. I appreciate you sharing them. You know, we talk a little bit about mental health and it leads me to think like, what does Allison like to do in her free time, you know, to kind of decompress? And you let me know in some of your facts, along with the 80s stickers and the hairless dogs, that you also like to spend a little bit of time camping, but is there a favorite place that you like to go?
We go, well, tonight I'm headed to Assateague Island, which is a to RV. It's
Very
glamping.
cool.
At Assateague Island, where there are like wild ponies that
Oh, very cool.
are in the campground. So while you're camping, they'll come and they'll pretty much eat your coffee grounds and anything else you leave out, but you can't touch them or play with them. But and one thing that's really neat about the ponies is there are pony gangs.
Oh, really?
So yeah, like there's like gangs and the ponies don't get along depending on what gang they're in.
Classic pony gang
Yeah.
scenario.
But it's just classic.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, we did a little vacation a couple years ago out to the Outer Banks, and there were horses that would just walk across your deck. It was the craziest thing, but it was so cool.
It's really cool. I love the Outer Banks.
I thought that maybe you might choose a mountain scene, but I was wrong.
Oh, darn. But you made
But
my hair look really good.
yeah, and
So.
I thought it might also be cool to slap some of those stickers on your RV. I don't know how your RV actually looks, but anyways, I appreciate you joining us. If you want,
Yeah.
before we head out, how should folks follow you? Follow YouFit as your brand.
Oh, well, if you want to follow us on YouFit, go to Instagram. If you want to follow me and what I have to say, go to LinkedIn. Allison Rand on LinkedIn or YouFit on Instagram.
Very cool. And we'll throw some links
Yeah.
up in the episode description. Also, if you're looking for a gym, check out YouFit gyms. There's tons of locations across Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Maryland, Rhode Island, and Virginia. Did I miss any?
I don't know. Florida. You said Florida.
There's a lot in Florida, so it's
A
worth
lot in
mentioning
Florida.
twice. Awesome.
Affordable personal training, accessible to all.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, awesome. This was great, Allison. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
As always, thanks for joining us in the Local Marketing Lab. This podcast is brought to you by Evocalize. To learn how Evocalize can help you grow your business, visit evocalize.com. If you learned something new from today's episode, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook at Evocalize. That's EVOCALIZE. And on X at Evocalize Inc. And remember, keep innovating and trying new things. You never know what's going to connect with your audience until you try. And until next time, thanks for listening.